Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is, even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants. Garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine listen for the rest of your life. This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I want one.
I got six. Well, five now.
You got five, and I have one. And you know what? Mine compared to your five brand new ones still in the box, it looks worn already.
That's good. It means you're using it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't read it in the dark, and I haven't worked out, you know, nighttime lighting yet. So, and I hadn't studied. And, yeah. So I'll say this. After the podcast, we need to get together immediately and decide on which one we're going to talk about next. So,
today we're going to talk about Jerusalem artichokes.
Jerusalem artichokes. Do you have any documentation in front of you right now, or are we going to just wing this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I take it it's no to the first part and yes to the second part.
They are high in potassium,
high
in fiber, high in iron, high in vitamin A.
Yeah.
They got a decent amount of protein, vitamin B12, vitamin D. Did I say calcium? High in calcium, too.
And guess whose family they're in?
They're in the Jewish family.
They're in the same family with lettuces and artichokes. You know, the artichokes where you eat the flower. Thistle. Dandelion. They're in that same family. Sunflowers and lettuce are related.
So, chicory.
Yes, you can eat sunflower leaves. Though I haven't personally tried it. They seem to be a bit tough. Maybe I'll have to cook them in a stew or something and see what happens. But they are... You know, your entire sunflower is edible. And Jerusalem artichokes are basically part of the sunflower family. The main difference, really, between a sunflower and a Jerusalem artichoke is the color of the center of the flower. All right? Sunflowers, let me see if I got my facts straight. Sunflowers tend to have yellow centers, and I guess the Jerusalem artichokes tend to have brown centers. I don't know. I know there's variations on sunflowers, so I might have it backwards. But that seems to be the main difference.
They get really, really tall.
Jerusalem artichokes can get really tall, too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they get, they can get, I think, what, 10 foot tall?
Yeah, and their flower heads tend to be more condensed than the sunflowers and tend to be smaller. But there are variations. And the reason why I'm saying that they're very similar is because if you have sunflowers, when the sunflowers died away and you just have the dried stalks, dig around and see if you find some tubers. All right? Because that's the part of the Jerusalem artichoke you eat. You eat the tubers. All right? And you'll find that some of your sunflowers, they have a root system. It's about a quarter inch thick. And they're about the consistency of a Jerusalem artichoke. You can eat those. All right? Now, Jerusalem artichoke, it tends to be a nodule, a tuber, like a small potato.
A bumpy tomato.
A bumpy, scaly potato, but they don't feel scaly, you know, eating them and stuff. It's just their appearance. And they have a nutty flavor when you eat them raw. But you can cook them. And
they got a nutty flavor when you cook them too, but not as bad.
Yeah, not as nutty. They don't have a nutty crunch to them anymore. They have the consistency of a very soft potato when you've cooked them. All right. So, you know, and they can be cooked and they can be fried, and they're very tasty that way, but they're also very tasty raw. And they're good for people who have sugar issues. So diabetics would enjoy the benefits of eating Jerusalem artichokes. You said they have a high vitamin A content, and that fits right in with them being related to dandelion. You know, dandelions actually have more vitamin A than a carrot. I don't know about Jerusalem artichokes, but, you know, it fits. It's that same family. I would assume that, you know, and this is just an assumption, I assume that Jerusalem artichoke is also good for heart issues and circulatory issues. Most of the lettuce family is very good for those problems and issues. Anything else to add to that?
They're delicious and nutritious.
Yeah, I actually dug up a bunch of them and took them to Bill and Shirley's house, and she surprised me. She cooked them. I was like, "You can cook those?" But yeah, she sauteed them up and served them plain. Put a little bit of garlic and sprinkle a little salt on them, which is a pretty standard thing to do to most vegetables, a little garlic and a little salt. You know, you do that to mushrooms. Yes, and what's their starch content? You know, if you're watching starch.
That I don't know yet.
You don't know yet. I suspect it's considerably lower than the starch content of a potato.
Less than 1% fat.
Well, it's a vegetable.
Yeah. Niacin 8% per 100 grams.
Niacin?
It's got niacin.
That's another plant I need to start eating. Lots of.
Riboflavins. 4.5%.
That's a good thing.
Got more vitamin C than vitamin A. It's
well,
got more niacin than vitamin C.
Wow.
It's got a lot of potassium in it. A lot of copper. So don't let your sheep eat it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, but copper is important. If you're getting gray hair and you're feeling muscle ache, you want to eat something that has lots of organic copper in it. So,
right, but don't take copper on an empty stomach. But if you eat something that has copper in it, then you're golden.
I was going to say, eating a Jerusalem artichoke would certainly fill your stomach.
Yeah. It's high in iron. It's actually higher in iron than it is in copper. So women especially should, women who menstruate would be interested in Jerusalem artichokes because they lose a lot of iron that week.
Right.
Some people are typically low on iron anyways, like my mom. So she needs to be eating Jerusalem artichokes because she has a hard time taking supplements because they make her sick. And she needs iron. So there we go.
So I should be propagating our Jerusalem artichokes even more than I have been.
But you don't really need to. They grow like weeds. It's a weed.
Well, yes and no. We planted some. We had borrowed, a friend came over with his tractor and he plowed for us. And to our surprise, we had hit a patch of Jerusalem artichokes that was already there. But they hadn't showed up because the weeds had overgrown them. All right, so they didn't get to full whatever. But because we plowed and knocked down all those weeds, and I don't really recommend plowing, but it benefited us in this respect. I had Jerusalem artichokes, just as many that I didn't plant as I did plant. And it just happened to be in the very garden where I planted them. So the plow hit a bunch of them and spread them through the area where I was planting them. It's not like I planted them and then plowed through them and scattered what I planted. These were already there. And I just happened to plant where Mother Nature had already planted. So I had a bunch of Jerusalem artichokes that weren't in my nice, neat rows. What you're telling me, though, is I need to take what we've got and propagate them in more areas on the farm.
Yep.
And I've seen them popping up in the middle of thistle patches. They're not very lively plants, and I'm not likely to harvest them because they're underneath a bunch of brambles. But
Jerusalem artichokes.
Say what?
Jerusalem artichokes are a good probiotic.
Yep.
They help with blood glucose levels.
Mm-hmm.
They also help with digestion. Help control cholesterol. Help control blood pressure. Let's see here, blood. Oh, okay. Helps with blood formation and helps boost immune system.
So it sounds like
chickweed, they help to boost the immune system.
Well, it sounds like they have the general properties of other plants in the lettuce family. With on sugar, helping with sugar issues. And I don't know if dandelion is a probiotic or not, but, you know.
Okay, the thymine in the Jerusalem artichokes helps with the digestive tract.
Oh, okay. Thiamine is one of the B vitamins, isn't it?
Let me see. Yes.
Right. Which, yeah. All right. Yeah, your vitamins serve multiple functions. You know, it's like your B vitamins are mostly nervous system, mental issues, and your energy systems in your body. All right? They do all three of those things. But, you know, obviously they do other things as well. Like he just said, thiamine helps with digestion. All right? You know, so, but, you know, those are the three main functions that bees are known for. You know, so, you know, any source of vitamins you can get your hands on, you know, is preferably natural. There's a slew of health benefits that just come from getting just your vitamins, because every vitamin helps in multiple systems, you know. And thus, a vitamin deficiency can result in a number of illnesses that seem totally and completely unrelated, you know. But you might take your vitamin for, you know, vitamin A for your eyesight and find out that it's helping out with, you know, with your sleep.
And your lungs, because vitamin A is good for the lungs.
Yeah. You know, so it's like you take it for one thing and it helps with another. Unlike the drugs they give you.
Oh, yeah. If you take pharmaceuticals, you got like 50 side effects that actually cause harm. If you take herbs, there's like 50 side effects that actually increase health.
Oh, my God. The side effects are healing me.
Pretty much. I mean, because every herb is known for, or mineral or vitamin, is known for certain healing properties, but it's got all these other healing properties that people don't generally talk about.
Right.
And like dandelion and thistle is generally talked about for being good for the liver, but dandelion is good for diabetes. Thistle's good for, I forgot, but anyways, they're good for all kinds of things, and so the
right.
side effects are good for you versus the side effects of the pharmaceutical industry.
You know, generally the herbs I know about are the ones that I've been taking for my own reasons.
Well, that's everybody.
Right. Yeah, that's everybody. And so I'll know about those issues, and I'll know about a few issues that my friends are dealing with, but for the most part, it's me. I know I'm selfish, all right? But, you know, I know what my problems are, and I've sought out solutions for those problems, and so like...
And that's why you...
You'll hear me complain about my eyesight, but I was noting today, I was looking at a little teeny tiny spider on my hand, and I was having eyesight issues, but I was noticing that my eyesight's still excellent, but I have this double vision issue, which somebody kind of gave me a clue to what... Well, yeah, I mean, I with one eye, I can close one eye. And if I've been reading for a long time, see, like right now I'm looking at my screen, and I know that there's a definite division between the blue and the white section of my screen, but I can see a shadow of overlap that results from my double vision, okay? All the letters have a little shadow underneath them a repeat of themselves, okay? And it's up and down, all right? And that happens with one eye. Well, I talked to somebody who had their thyroid burned out, and they have that problem, and it's a result of basically not having a thyroid. It's an eye problem that occurs because their thyroid is no longer functioning. In their case, because their thyroid was removed. All right? And you know, so iodine can actually help your vision if you have a thyroid. Because if your thyroid is affecting your vision, the nutrient your thyroid typically needs when it's malfunctioning is iodine. Now, there's other things it needs as well, but you know, if you're having a thyroid problem, the first thing you should work on is supplementing your iodine intake. You know, sure, maybe you don't have goiter. All right, that's why they put iodine in the salt, to prevent goiter. But so you've got enough iodine to stop your thyroid from swelling, but maybe you don't have enough iodine to make your thyroid function fully.
That's another thing. Thistle and or dandelion is good for is the thyroid.
Oh, my. We've used up that much time already.
We have 90 seconds remaining.
Right. So dandelion and thistle are good for what now?
Thistle and or dandelion are good for the thyroid as well.
Okay. Is that due to iodine content, or is there other supporting elements?
I'm not sure. So we got
one minute remaining.
So if you want to hear the rest of the story, go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we will continue our commentary. And I'm working on a new site where we will continue with our continuation on that location in the future. So check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. Make sure you get his book or other books like it. And that's it.
All right. Well, good night, folks, but we will keep talking, even though this podcast will be over.